missed you last week, but I had a great time in Texas with our grandsons. And our oldest one is 11, and I'd never seen him I have not gotten to see him play ball. So he had his first baseball tournament last weekend, and his first time at bat, he hit a home run. Made me cry. Can you believe that? No, I had a great time away and spending time with them, and it's good to be back. I want to share a picture with you on the screen, if we can put that up. And the reason I share that with you is I want you to know that we have a great kids ministry here. And I know most of you are just in and out of here every week, and so you don't really engage in what goes on over there. But I just want you to know that we don't run a daycare. We minister to those kids over there just like we try to minister to one another here. And this is a picture. It was taken during a prayer time in the kids area. And I saw that Christina, our kids minister, showed that to me. I said, I got to have that. Send it to me. So I had Chris download it. I mean, it says it all. What can you say about that? I mean, they are learning that God is real and God moves in prayer. And I mean, you can just see from that. It just overwhelmed me when I saw that. So I just wanted to share that with you and say, adults, we better keep moving or those kids are going to bypass us, okay? Well, I'm glad you're here this morning. And again, we're going to getting close to the end to wrap up our stewardship series. We once a year, I know we have several guests here, and I want you to know that we don't talk about money all year round, but we do talk about money, and we talk about finances, we talk about stewardship unashamedly once a year at least, because, and normally toward the first part of the year, because I think it's very important, because Jesus talked more about that in his parables than any other thing. And so obviously, if it was important to him, it needs to be important to us. So in this Blessed Life series today, I want to talk about a spirit. I want to talk about the spirit of mammon. If you'll turn to Luke chapter 16, we're going to be mostly there this morning, right in chapter 16 of Luke. We're going to begin in verse 9, and we're going to look at about 4 or 5 verses here in Luke 16. And I say to you, and these are the words of Jesus. Jesus is speaking here. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fall, when you fail, they may receive you in an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And I just want to digress just a minute to catch up on a couple of the other messages. We started out in the first week of this series saying it's all about the heart. It's really all about the heart. The heart is where everything generates from. And we saw that we have to deal with a selfish heart first. Then we have to deal with a grieving heart, a heart that has remorseful over giving maybe. Then we need to develop a generous heart and also develop a grateful heart for what God has done. And then the second week we looked at, it's a test. Giving is a test. Tithing is a test. Tithing is also biblical, and tithing is also beneficial. And then the last thing we saw a couple weeks ago was who's first? Who's first in your life? You see, we looked at Old Testament scriptures that the first must be sacrificed or redeemed. The first fruits must be offered. And we also saw that the tithe must be brought first. Remember, we looked at Cain and Abel. Cain waited, and after a time, he brought some of his fruit. But Abel brought the first, and Abel's was acceptable to God, but Cain's was not, because he didn't bring his first and his best. And so today we're looking at the spirit of mammon. And as we read there, the word mammon appears four times in Scripture. Three times here, and another time in Matthew 6:24, which is the verse quoted by Luke. No one can serve two masters. And it's important for us to understand the background on mammon so that we can grasp how it affects Christianity, how it affects Christians today in their stewardship. So I'm going to kind of do three questions today. And the first one is, what is mammon? And the answer of that is, mammon, it's an Aramaic term, which means riches. Mammon is an Aramaic term, which means riches. Jesus was referring to more than just riches here in Luke. You see, mammon was a Syrian god, the god of riches, who came out of Babylon. And Babylon was a city, and many people don't really know about the origin of Babylon, where it came from or about its history, but it came from the Tower of Babel. Babel means confusion. Confusion. Have you ever heard the term a babbling idiot? Some of you have. You ever been called that? You know, someone just babbling on and on without making any sense. Confusion. You see, the name Babylon means founded or sown in confusion. Now, doesn't that describe the world we live in today? Sown in confusion. You see, we see confusion today everywhere, all over the world, not just in our country. So if you look into your Bible, you look into the Tower of Babel. It was the result of a prideful, arrogant spirit that was over the people. It was a spirit that says, I don't need God. I can handle it myself. You see, we see that spirit in the world today, don't we? Yes. Yes. Not just in the world, but even in the church as well. In fact, back then, the people were going to build a tower, this great tower, into heaven so they could climb into heaven on their own, in their own efforts and their own power. And so that's the spirit of Babel, or the spirit of mammon, if you will. You see, the mammon spirit says this: you don't need God. You don't need God. You need riches. You need more wealth. That's the spirit of mammon. Mammon is a spirit that tries to replace God in our life. And it's unholy and it's ungodly. It tries to replace God with things. With things. Mammon is not money per se, although it can be used in referring to money. But it's a spirit. More than that, mammon is a spirit that rests on money, that can rest on wealth, can rest on riches. It's a spirit trying, as I said, to replace God. Last week, or the week, 2 weeks ago, we talked about redeeming your money with the tithe, that the 10% redeems the other 90. Some of you remember that? Yes. Nobody was here 2 weeks ago. I'm glad I did a review. We talked about that, we did. You see, the redeeming, that redemption, the redeeming of the money breaks that spirit of mammon off of wealth, off of money. And it puts it under the blessing and removes a curse. Amen. It puts it under the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And that's why Malachi tells us that things that have been redeemed things are blessed through redeeming. I don't want you to go there, but I'm going to share a quick scripture from Malachi. And he says this, and it's concerning that. Malachi tells us that money that's been blessed through redeeming multiplies, and it can't be devoured by the devourer, because it has then the Spirit of God on it, because the spirit of mammon has been removed. Malachi 3:11 says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake." And everybody know who the devourer is? It's the enemy. "So that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts." Mammon, the spirit, is a liar. And here's why. Because mammon promises you what only God can give you. Mammon says, "Serve me." He says, "Serve me every day. Serve me. That's what you need." But remember what we just read. Jesus says you can't serve two. You can't serve both God and mammon. We read this in Luke. And so the spirit of mammon is looking for servants, looking for people to serve it. And it's getting quite a few from the church at large today. Here's what mammon promises. First of all, mammon promises security. And here's how. He whispers this: "I need enough money to be secure for the rest of my life." I mean, have you ever said that yourself? Have you ever heard people say that? Now, I'm not talking about being irresponsible. As if money will make you secure. Mammon will promise significance, prestige, power, independence, freedom, peace, love, and joy. And all this promised, but the truth is, you can only get these things from God. Amen. Mammon promises things that only God can give. Jesus said you can't serve both. You'll love one and you'll hate the other, or you'll be loyal to one and you'll despise the other. Now stay with me here for a minute. That means some people despise God with their finances. Why? Because Jesus made it clear in his word. If you despise one, either God or mammon, it's because you're loyal to the other. Not my opinion, that's scripture. Jesus is saying it's a choice. It's a choice that's made. You can't serve both. You can try, but one's going to be first and one's going to be cast behind or aside. Many of us grew up literally learning to serve mammon. And often when mammon disappoints us, you know, we get mad at God because he didn't come through for me. Here's another thing about mammon. Mammon is the spirit of the Antichrist. Amen. It's the spirit of the Antichrist. What do you mean? Well, it's true. You see, the Antichrist doesn't rule by threat of war, according to the book of Revelation. According to the book of Revelation, the Antichrist rules through the threat of not being able to buy or sell. You see, if you don't take the mark of the beast, wherever it may be given, you won't be able to buy or sell. Well, how am I going to eat? How am I going to eat? You see, that's the spirit of mammon, the spirit of Antichrist. That's how he's going to try to rule. You got to trust him. You got to trust the mark instead of God. Mammon saying, that's mammon saying, you're not going to be able to provide for yourself or your family without me. You'll need me, that spirit of mammon, to buy and sell. I'm the answer to your needs. And we hear it over and over and over in our world today. We hear it on television, on radio, in media, in billboards, and everywhere we turn. Here's a lie the enemy has helped many of us to buy into. I need God to come through for me, or I need somebody to give me some money. You ever thought that or said that in desperate times? You see, mammon does this. He compares himself to God. He compares himself to God. And here's the truth. Mammon wants to be your God. The spirit of riches, the spirit of Mammon wants to be your God. Now, let me say this. There's nothing wrong with wealth and riches. If it's managed well, and if it's used properly, and it's used to help build the kingdom, as well as the enjoyment of life. But Mammon tries to get you to worship him. And Jesus, listen, Jesus never told anybody the answer to your problems was more money. He didn't tell a leper. He didn't tell the blind person. He didn't tell the prostitute. The answer to your problem is more money. Mammon, listen to me. Mammon is very subtle. He says, if you'll serve me, you'll be able to help more people. Let me give you an example. I experienced that in my life years ago in the corporate world. My president of the company, or one of the corporate leaders of the company, called me. I was having my annual review. And of course, when you're in sales, you know, you reach your goal and then the goal gets higher, right? Anybody in sales know that? When that year is over, you're starting back at zero. And so in my review, you know, there was a push there to increase production and sales. And I was always in the top two or three in the company every year. But I said, well, my response was, I make a good living. I'm providing for my family, and I'm able to help people, which is my goal in life. And this person's response was, well, if you'll push your goal and if you'll push production up, you'll be able to help more people. Do you see the subtlety? Raise that goal of production. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, and I know that's what makes companies work. But here's the thing. What is the true purpose of that goal? Is it to make the company more money and make you more money, or is it really to help more people? My response, by the way, was, as I looked him in the eye, I said, how much is enough? And you know, that's a question for all of us today. How much is enough? I mean, I was in sales all my life from the time I was 20 years old or even before. But and so I know what that means. But again, it goes back to, what are we doing with it? And are we worshiping that? Are we serving God and utilizing that? And I'll talk about that in a minute. You see, Mammon is a spirit that talks to us. And here's what Mammon says. If you had the right job, if you had the right clothes, if you had the right car, if you have the right position, if you had more power, people would look up to you. If you had more money, think about that. That's how he whispers to us. Then he says you'd have more influence. You'd be more significant. You see, it's the voice of the Mammon spirit that speaks to us. So, question number two. Is money evil? No, it's not. The Bible says money is the root of all evil. No, that's not what it says. That's not what it says. It says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It's just one. There's many roots of evil, but money is one. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil because it produces all kinds of things that's not of God. You see, money is neither good or bad. The Bible doesn't say money is the root. It says the love of money, the worship of money, the greed for money is the root. Is a root of all kinds of evil. You see, money is a tool. Money is a tool that can be used for good or it can be used for bad purposes. It can be used for eternal purposes or it can be used for temporal purposes. Money itself is not evil. It's not. In fact, you need a little money to live on, right? It's how it's used. Is it worshiped? What is it used for? Look at verse 9 there in Luke 16. He says, "And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail," that means when you die, "they may receive you into an everlasting home." This is not saying use your money to get friends, okay? You can't buy friends. You might try. When you fail, fail in the Greek means to die. That means when you die physically, these people will welcome you as a Christian into an everlasting home. Where's the everlasting home? Where's the everlasting home? Lord have mercy, I have failed, God. Anybody ever heard of heaven? Anybody? That's the everlasting home. I got to go back to basics here. Are y'all awake? This time, I know what it is. It's a time change. Okay, I got it. You'll get the last point. By then, you'll be awake. You see, he's saying, take unrighteous mammon, that money that has the unrighteous spirit on it, redeem it, and use it for God's kingdom. Lay up treasures in heaven by using your money to bring people into the kingdom. And when you do this, then some of those people that you, through your faithfulness, have come into the kingdom, some of them, he's saying, will welcome you when you come in. That's awesome. That's unbelievable. Lay up for treasures in heaven. So when you get there, some people that, because of your faithfulness, are going to say, "Welcome. I'm here because you helped get me here." When you tithe, when you give offerings above the tithe, you're supporting things that are helping bring people into the kingdom, not just here, but all over the world. When you do this, you may not see it now, but when you get to heaven, you're going to find out more than you imagined how you helped bring people into the kingdom. Look at verse 11. "Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches?" Underline "true riches" there in your Bible. I want you to know what true riches are. True riches are people. True riches are people. They're friends. True riches are family, other believers, church family, and on and on. You see, and hear me on this, people last forever. Nothing from this world is going to the other side except people, our spirit. Amen. That's eternity. And that's God's true riches. God's riches, his wealth is in people. He's saying, if you aren't faithful in your resources, who's going to trust you with true riches? Now, let me just expound on that personally for just a minute. As a pastor, this verse carries a lot of weight with me. Because as a pastor, I commit responsibility to other people in the church, for other people, through staff, through other ministry leaders, and those kind of things. Responsibility is shared in the church. The book of Hebrews tells me, as an under-shepherd of the church, which is who I am, one day I'm going to give an account to the one supreme shepherd for how I handled this responsibility, how I handled God's riches. And so, why would I commit responsibility for people to someone who's not even a good steward of their money? Here's my point. In this church, staff is expected to tithe. Ministry leaders are expected to tithe. Why? Because they're entrusted with true riches, people. And I'm going to be held accountable for all of them. And we're all going to be held accountable together. And so, if I'm going to be held accountable on this, I take it serious, the call of my life. And so, if you're going to be entrusted with the true riches of people, you need to be a good steward of everything. Amen. And I'm not saying, I know this is tough teaching, but let me tell you, it's truth. It's truth. I'm not saying if you've had financial problems, we've had financial problems in the past, years and years ago. Let me tell you something that turned that around, tithing, in the midst of financial problems. But I'm not saying if you had financial problems, I'm saying this, if in your heart you've chosen to serve mammon rather than God, I'm not going to entrust you with God's resources, with his people. I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just being scriptural and honest. It's just that I believe what the word says about my responsibility, and I take it seriously because I am going to be held in account. I'm saying we need to come to the place. Here's the point. We need to come to the place where, you know, maybe I've had financial problems, but I want my money submitted to God. I want it redeemed by God and what I have submitted into him, because when we do that, we become faithful stewards. Amen. And we can be trusted with true riches. We can be trusted with people. You see, the Bible is not just truthful. It's very practical as well. So, here's the point. True riches, God's riches, are people. Knowing that mammon is a spirit that rests on money and tries to get me to serve it and replace God with it, knowing that money is not evil, what do I do with it? Here's the third question. What do I do? What should I do with money? Well, according to Scripture, be a good steward with it. Amen. Be a good steward with it. God is always looking for people to be good stewards that he can trust. Be a good steward with it. Let me give you an illustration. Over here, on this side of this chasm, represents God. And God has all, what? Resources, right? Yeah. God has it all. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, right? So here is God over here with all the resources in the world, in the universe. Okay? Over here are people and needs. People with spiritual needs, with physical needs, with practical needs, all kinds of things. Okay? So over there is God and all the resources of the universe, right? Over here is all the people and the needs, right? Okay? I'm right here. So the question is, what stands between all those riches and those needs? Us, right? I do. We do. We stand between them. Here's what I mean. What keeps those resources of God's, all God's resources, from reaching over there and getting to those people? A lack of good stewards will do that. A lack of good stewards will prevent that. If I'm not a good steward, I'm a block from God's resources. You know why? Because he funnels his resources through good stewards. Has anybody ever seen money fall out of heaven? Anybody seen needs fall out of heaven? No. He uses good stewards of his resources. And if I don't do that, if God blesses me and I just hoard the blessing, guess what? The blessing stops here. And I'll tell you something else. He'll stop blessing me. But if God blesses me and I'm a channel and I channel those resources to needs, guess what? God's going to increase the blessings. Because he knows the flow is going to increase to the needs. Amen. Do you see what I'm saying? It's very practical. Yeah. It's very practical. God's word is so practical. He gets more resources to the ones who channel them. That's why he says those who are faithful in a little will be faithful in a lot. Now, I know some of you may be probably thinking already, Pastor, I have too little of this unrighteous mammon to plug into this message, and maybe you unplugged already a while ago. But let me say to you, there's something else that mammon, the spirit of mammon, produces. It's a spirit of poverty. It's a poverty mentality, a spirit of unbelief. It wants you to think that you can't afford to tithe and that God blesses others, but that won't work for you. Please don't believe those lies. Don't believe those lies. God is faithful. Amen. and God is true. Amen. Well, I got a few amens, but I'm telling you, it's universal. He is. Amen. Look at verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Now, do you realize if you have just a little, that little that you have is a test? God's word says if you're faithful with a little, he can trust you with more. And then Jesus says if you're unjust with a little, it won't matter how much you get, how much you have, you'll still be unjust with it. So let me put that into everyday terms, the scripture we just read. If you don't tithe on $10, you won't tithe on $100. If you don't tithe on $100, you won't tithe on $1,000. And if you don't do that, you won't tithe when you sell property or stocks or any other gain that you get. Here's the biblical principle. If your heart is not right with a little, your heart's not going to change with a lot. It won't happen. It won't happen. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Another biblical principle is that good stewards are blessed, not just in finances, but in many ways, spiritually, emotionally, physically, relationally. Look at verse 12. And if you've not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? This is the principle that God owns it all. If you're not faithful with what is not yours, how can God trust you with what is yours? That's what he's saying here. Listen, it's not how much you have. Please hear that. It's not how much you have. It's whose it is. You see, it's not how much you have, it's understanding that none of it is yours. None of it's yours in the first place. It's God's. All our resources come from God. All our resources. And I want to remind you again, I'm preaching this because it's truth. And not only because it's truth, but it will help you. It will help you in your life. It'll help build the kingdom of God. God wants us to live a blessed life. He wants us to be a good steward. Worship team, would you come up? And don't pay attention to them. Listen, I'm getting ready to close. God wants you to live a blessed life because he loves you and he cares about you. But God also wants you to be a good steward of your life so that when he speaks to you, when he speaks to your heart, that you give joyfully, generously, without reservation, and that you see the blessings of God on your life and on the life of others. You see, as individuals and the body of Christ, as individuals and as the body of Christ collectively and corporately, he wants us to be together. Amen. To trust him together. And corporately and individually as a body of Christ, he wants us to break the spirit of mammon that tries to replace God in our life so that he can do in us and so that he can do through us all that he wants to do. Let's pray together. Here's the first invitation this morning. I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. Maybe, and I know there are people here who have conquered the spirit of mammon, and you've broken it off your life probably years ago. And there's others here that maybe still struggle with it, and maybe God's revealed it today. But I'd like for us to pray not only for ourselves individually, but this prayer is for the church corporately, not just this church, but God's church at large. So it's an invitation to renounce the spirit of mammon from self from family and from the body of Christ. And so if you're willing to do that and join me in renouncing that, then pray this prayer with me out loud and just repeat after me boldly and unashamedly, but only if God leads you to. And here we go. Dear God, forgive me for being selfish, prideful, and covetous. Please forgive me for listening to unholy spirits of mammon, of pride, and poverty. Lord, I ask you to break them off of me, off my family, off my descendants, and off your church. Lord, help me from this day forward to be generous, to trust you as my source and my provision. And as you continue to pray, I want to give another invitation. And I close with this. If you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus, you've never put your faith into him as Lord and Savior, that's where it all begins. Because if you don't do that, none of the rest of this matters. You see, these scriptures we've talked about today were written to the church, to God's people, to people with a relationship with God. And so you don't have a relationship with God today, I want to encourage you today. God's tugging at your heart. He doesn't give a rip about your money or your resources until he has your heart. Is there someone here today by faith that would lift your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I just want you to pray for me. Just lift your hand and I'll pray for you. Anyone? I need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want you to pray for me, Pastor. Father, we thank you in the strong name of Jesus for your word that is true, that is just, that is practical for everyday living. God, we thank you for your word that produces life and breath in us, that teaches us how to live for you, that teaches us how to live the life that you have for us, how to experience the blessings that comes from knowing you. So God, I pray today that you would break every sense, every speck of the spirit of mammon off of our lives today and off of this church. I thank you, God, that this is a generous church and these are generous people. And I thank you, God, that we can trust you. We can trust you with our life. And God, if we can trust you with our life, we can trust you with our finances, with our resources, with all the things that we experience in this life. So God, help us today to trust you. We pray your blessings over our tithes and our offerings. We thank you, God, that we're privileged to worship you in this way. And we thank you in the strong name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. God bless you. It's offering time, family and friends.